great to be here this morning with you at Hope Church, and we're continuing our series this morning called Seven Statements from the Cross. And when Jesus is on the cross, he makes seven very important statements, and last week we looked at the word forgiveness. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now that doesn't mean that they didn't know what they were doing. They knew they were killing him. They didn't understand the magnitude of what they were doing and all eternity at stake. The second word, we're introduced to a thief who was dying on the cross right beside Jesus. And Jesus is hanging between two criminals, and the Greek word actually means evil doers. The two people, one on his right, one on his left, were evil, and they did something evil, and this is what is interesting. One of them turns away from Jesus, and the other one turns towards Jesus. It's probably the most famous last-minute salvation in history. In this thief's dying words, he trusts Jesus for salvation, and he says, Jesus says back to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's extremely important because there are people who have doubts. And when I'm done today, I want you never in your life again to doubt whether or not you can be in heaven. I don't want you to think, let's say the next hour you slip into eternity, or tonight you slip into eternity. I don't want you ever, ever again to doubt one moment where you're going to be. And there's something that I think you can learn from this thief. Matter of fact, I think there's a couple of things that you can learn from a man who's next to Jesus, dying on the cross, who engages with Jesus. Let me read to you the text here in Luke chapter 23. Here's what it says. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you today you will be with me in paradise." I assure you, I guarantee it, you can count on it. This is one you can take to the bank. I think about, what does this street criminal know? I mean, basically in our language, we would say he's a lowlife. What does he know? I think he knows a couple of things. First thing is this. He knows I will face God after I die. He knew that. The first criminal insults Jesus just like all of the others were doing. The second criminal rebukes the first criminal and says, "Don't you fear God even when you're dying?" I mean, what's he saying here? There is a seriousness to our situation. Man, you're about to meet God. You can't run anymore. You're seconds away from God Almighty. And you do realize that death is not the end. Death is actually the beginning of eternity. There is a point for all of us where we're going to stand before God face to face, and we're going to give account for our lives. The scripture says this in Hebrews chapter 9. "And just as each person is destined to die, once after death comes judgment." I mean, that's an appointment that you and I can't cancel. That is one appointment I guarantee you that you're going to be there. And so when you think about this just for a moment, it's foolish to spend an entire life not in preparation of what is coming. It is foolish to spend an entire life pretending that you're not going to meet God face to face. Even the thief on the cross knew this. Here's something else he knew. He knew, I have sinned against God. I mean, he says this in verse 41, we deserve to die for our evil deeds. You know, there's a word for that. It's called confession. He admits he sinned. We deserve to die. We have done wrong. We shared this verse last week, and I don't know if it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I think it could be. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us what this guy did, unfortunately. But it doesn't really matter, because I don't know how many sins do you have to commit to be guilty. I mean, how many laws do you have to break to be a lawbreaker? One, right. How many crimes do you have to commit to be a criminal? One. Now, it stands to reason, how many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? One. So God doesn't really judge on a scale like this is a good sin, this is a bad sin. I mean, sin is sin. But let's just say he did. Let's say 100, like if you got 100 points, you're perfect and everything's good. And then the scale drops. So if we said, let's say Adolf Hitler, what he killed over 6 million Jews, so we would give him a zero. But then there was Mother Teresa. Right? She helped so many people. She cared for the dying. And so let's say she's at 85. I mean, if you study her life, she kind of doubted and stuff. So let's say she's 85. And then, okay, let's go Pastor Jim. I'm saying 15. I mean, I try hard, but sometimes I just talk too long on Sundays. And I've admitted to you, sometimes we'll be worshiping and I'll be thinking about tacos and burritos and food. So it's like, okay, we're going to give me a 15, and now let's look at you. All right, I'm thinking 45. I'm thinking you've got to be at least twice as good as I am. And so you're 45, so you're going, dude, I'm 65. Okay, we'll give you 65. But nobody's perfect, right? And I think that makes sense. And so the problem is that heaven is perfect, and even if you're at 96, there's still 4 points that you're off. And so because of that 4-point gap, you can't get into perfection. You can't get to heaven. And if you were allowed to go to heaven, it really wouldn't be heaven. And so this thief says, we deserve to die. In Romans, we read this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's kind of the bad news, good news. You understand about wages. Wages, I work and I earn my wage. But a gift is something that I haven't earned. It's something that's been given. So the wages of you not having 100 points, it's sin, and the outcome of that, it has to be death. And then there's a gift. It's something that you can be given that you didn't earn, that you can't earn, and that's the gift that comes from Jesus Christ. I mean, there's nobody who deserves to go to heaven. Now, I understand that there are people who are just, they're just a whole lot better than other people. I totally get that. There are people who are nicer than other people. There are people who are more caring than other people. There are people that are more giving than other people. I totally get that. But on our best day, even if it's your whole life is your best day, we still can't get there on our own. It's super clear. The Bible says we've fallen short. It's just the gap. So, I mean, the thief knows this. I'm going to face God. I have sinned against God. And here's what else he knows. I need some grace to save me. In verse 42, after he says we deserve to die, and he says, you know, this guy has never sinned. Then he said, talking about the thief on the cross, Jesus, would you remember me? Jesus, really two words, remember me. I wish we could see that. You've got a man hanging on the cross. He's sweating. He's bleeding. He's been beaten. And he looks over to Jesus. And in his dying words, he pipes up and says, when you get to your kingdom, could you remember a guy like me? I mean, this has got to be the shortest salvation prayer in the history of mankind. Think about it. Two words. Remember me. Do you know if they would have just taught me this in seminary? We wouldn't have to think about, you know, all of the theological terms. Is there justification? Sanctification? What about the atonement? He doesn't even say repent. I mean, there's none of this repeat after me. I mean, there's none of that. Matter of fact, it doesn't even say, I believe. He doesn't say, Jesus, come into my heart. He says, remember me. Man, I love this. The other thing is, he didn't even get baptized. And he's in heaven. I mean, he said, wait, stop. No. I've got to be baptized. Take me off the cross, baptize me, put me back up there. I mean, they've got to be catching eye to eye. And Jesus says, I've got this. You're in. I'll see in heaven before the day is over. What do you need to say to get into heaven? What do you need to say to get into heaven? You basically need to say yes to God and no to you. I'm not trusting me to be able to get into heaven. I am trusting God. Do you know, to go to hell, it's almost impossible. I mean, when you think about this, you have to reject the love of God. I mean, why would anybody say, no, Jesus, I'm glad you died on the cross. I'm glad, you know, you rose from the dead. But I'm good. They'll get there their way. I'll get there my way. I mean, who would do that? Why would anybody want to reject the grace of God? It happened that day. And you and I have this choice. One thief says, if you really are who you say you are, then save yourself. And to prove it, take us, save us too. He rejects the grace of God. And there's another man. He knows, I'm going to meet God. And if the news is right, half of you could be wiped out. Corona. Not the beer, the virus. I mean, come on! I don't know what's going to kill you, but I do know this. I had a lot of hope in Michael Jackson. No, remember he was going to be cryogenically frozen, and then we found the cure, he was going to be thawed out and raised back? I know you might think you've seen him somewhere, but he's gone. And when MJ died, I thought, oh, I'm not getting out of this alive. And neither are you. Now, I'm going to pause and say something. Am I fearing the coronavirus? No. Do I wash my hands? I hate germs. I wash my hands anyway. I mean, but come on. Something's going to, at some point in our lives, usher us into eternity. The bottom line is, you and I make a choice. Do I accept what Jesus has done, or do I reject what Jesus has done? In Ephesians, it says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. In other words, you can be a really good person, but you just don't quite have 100 points when you compare yourself to heaven's best. Here's one more thought when I think about the thief. He asked Jesus, and Jesus actually responded. Think about the agony. Think about what Jesus had just gone through. And on the cross, because it's the purpose why he came, was to die for you and to die for me and to die for this thief. The very purpose for why he came, he acknowledges somebody who understands that they can't get there on their own and that they are guilty. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He actually believed Jesus was God, the prophet. He believed he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And this is very interesting. The guy hanging on the cross, he didn't ask Jesus to take away his pain. He didn't say, hey, Jesus, do you mind taking me off of this cross? He knew of the miracles. Everybody did. He knew that Jesus actually raised some people from the dead. Everybody knew that. It was the word spreading. I mean, it was all over. He knew that Jesus could do whatever Jesus wanted to do. He didn't ask for the things in life that are insignificant. He went much deeper than that. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Why did he say that? Because the deepest pain that all of us feel, it's not the pain of finances. It's not the pain of frustration and this and a coronavirus. The deepest pain all of us feel is that pain way inside. Way, way inside that has to do with our soul. This man needed to be saved from his sin. This man needed peace in his soul because he knew what he had done. And every one of us, if we commit one sin, we're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And it's true that we can try to mask our hurt and our pain with all kinds of different things. But if we strip away all the peripherals, what really hurts in us is deep down in our soul. And if you're not right with God, there's just not enough in this world that we can mask ourselves with to make it right for the long haul. In Romans, it says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you're saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How can you be sure? Like today and from this day until you meet God, that when you take your last breath, you'll be ushered right into his presence, into the kingdom of heaven. You're not saved from your feelings. Feelings are all over the place. I told you last week when I was sick and I wanted to do a body cleanse, and I went and ordered a few corn dogs and put mustard all over them, ate those corn dogs. I had feelings, I'm telling you. Lots of emotion. You can't trust your feelings. I mean, you can go to a movie. Last night we went to The Call of the Wild. Has anyone seen that? I don't recommend it, but there are a couple good little parts in it. I mean, they're all animated dogs and stuff. It's like really weird. But I mean, there was a couple moments where I'm like, oh, this is so touching. But then it was over. I mean, can you really trust your feelings? Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, sometimes you're somewhere in between. You don't trust your salvation to feelings and emotion. You don't trust your salvation to anything except one thing. And you can absolutely rely on this. The promise of God's word is true. You say, Jim, I can argue with you. I can show you inconsistencies. Really? Do you think you've studied that much? That you know the original Greek and you know the original Hebrew and you've read all of the Qumran scrolls and you understand the accuracy, all of that? You think you're that smart? I don't believe you are. I'm not saying you're not smarter than I am. That's easy. But you're not that smart. There's no book in history that has been criticized and scrutinized more than this. There's no book in history. There's not a book on the planet that proves to be more accurate. And we could spend a long time talking about that, but like I said, I'm a sinner and sometimes I go too long, so we'll pause right there. Maybe you'll put me up instead of 15, maybe you'll get me to 25 if I hurry and get done. But here's the reality. You're banking your whole life on something. And I am absolutely banking my life in my eternity on God's holy word. And if he says that if I call on the name of the Lord, I will be saved, then I don't have to worry about how I feel. I don't have to worry about my emotions. All I know is this, is the promise of God's word never lies. And I'm going to trust it. And Jesus looked over at that thief, and Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. The word assurance and the word promise are very important words that Jesus says when he's on the cross. And I'm telling you today that he not only died for that thief on the cross, but there's a word for you today called assurance. There's a word for you today called promise. And I would venture to say in a group this large that there's somebody here today that God brought for this very purpose. That you do not have to doubt. That you do not have to wonder. That you do not have to question, God, are you going to let me in? What if I get there and you don't like me? What if I get there and you say, it's my house, and you're not welcome? I've been at the bedside of quite a few people who are ushered into eternity. And it's one of the honors of my job as a pastor to be able to walk with people when life is really good, and also to be able to walk with people when kind of the lights shut off and they're ushered into the presence of Jesus. And there is never a fear that is more fearful than somebody who doesn't know where they're going. And there's never a grace and a peace that comes over somebody as they are literally moments from death when they know their Savior. I'm going to pray a simple prayer this morning. And it's not about how we pray. It's always about the attitude in which we pray. And if you don't know for certain that if you were to be ushered into eternity today, that you would meet the Savior with his arms open wide for you, then let's make that right. Let's make it right, because I think you owe it to your sanity to know that there's a reason Jesus died on the cross. It's for you. You're never going to earn it, but you need it. Let's pray together. And maybe just in your mind, you can agree with what I'm saying. Kind of pray it in your mind with me. God, I personally know. Well, the fact is, whether we acknowledge it or not, we all know that we're sinners. Even if we want to be do-gooders, we still sin. And we're going to give an account to you, directly to you. And it's easy, God, it's easy, even though I know you, it's easy sometimes to do my plan and not think about your plan. And God, I pray for each of us that we would acknowledge, Jesus, that you died for us, not that you're mad at us, because you love us. You died for us, and you not only have a plan for our eternity, but you have a plan for us now. God, I know we make a choice just like those two thieves. We can accept you, or you give us the choice to reject you. And God, I pray for anyone here today who's never really, that they know when they die, they will be in eternity with you. God, I pray that we would accept you now. Just like that thief, remember me. When I die, remember me. For the rest of my life, help me to follow you. For the rest of my life, show me your plan. God, we pray that you would save us from eternal separation. That you would save us right now because of the grace in Jesus. And by your grace, I pray that we will never doubt you and our salvation again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. And if you have a prayer request today, I'm going to invite the elders who are here to come to the front, and they would love to pray for you. And they would love to stand with you and believe God. And by the way, if you said, you know what, I accepted Christ today, what do I do? Right here is a Bible, and I'd love to give it to you. And it's a great new Bible, and if you said, you know what, I'd like to take that, I'd like to read that, it's right here for you. So God bless you today. You're dismissed.